Welcome to WebRush, the weekly talk show that brings you stories of real-world development from industry experts and developers like you and me. Each week, Ward Bell, Dan Wallin, Craig Shoemaker, and John Papa find out what it takes to write, deploy, and maintain apps that stand up to the demands of the real world. And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back to WebRush. This is episode 138. And this episode, we're going to be talking about where in the world is Dan Wallin. It's all about Google Maps and the Google Maps platform with the web. And today I've got my co-hosts, Dan and Craig, with me. Dan, so how are you doing?
I'm just trying to find where I'm at in life, John. Looking on the map, but haven't found it yet.
Well, luckily today we can add some pins to the map, and our guest is going to help us figure out how to locate you at all times.
Good.
So speaking of locating people, I want to share our location data with Craig Shoemaker. Craig, it seems on my phone, my Find My iPhone, I can see where you are right now. Is that a good thing or bad thing?
Probably a little terrifying. Make sure you don't follow the walking directions. That's the biggest thing you want to make sure you don't do.
It is a little scary these days, isn't it? All the location data that we share, like especially pictures and stuff. It's like, I don't know if I necessarily want people to know where I am or where I run or where I walk. A little frightening, actually.
I turn all that stuff off.
Yeah, I try to, but I'm always afraid there's some like legacy app that I've been involved in forever that, you know, it's right. Still on.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh. Like I use Strava for running. It's a exercise app. And some of my friends like open it up to everybody. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that because it shows literally like the map and the street names and the addresses of where I run and the times of day when I do it. And
well, all of my kids play Pokemon Go. And so if I ever have to find them, I can always mine that data to figure out where they've been and what they've been up to.
Yeah. So we just keep them on really long leashes with bungee cords. And then when they get too far, they just snap it right back to the house. You know? If you'd like, So as we get a little bit off topic on here, the big topic today is about maps. If you all haven't taken the hint from us, and today we have a return guest on. It's been a long time since we've had our guest on our show. I think it was called Real Talk JavaScript back when she joined us a long time ago. We have Katarina Scrumpelo. How are you doing, Katarina?
I'm doing well. Thank you, John. Hi, Dan. Hi, Craig.
Hey there. Glad to have you.
Nobody ever says hi to Craig and Dan. That's so nice of you.
I know. You're the best guest we've ever had now, Katarina.
Ooh, yeah. That set the bar too high.
That's amazing. For those of you out there who want to know a little bit more about Katarina, let me tell you a little bit. Katarina is a Google Developer Expert, a GDE, for Angular, Web Technologies, and the Google Maps platform, and a software engineer at Narwhal, who's also a sponsor of our show occasionally for WebRush. Katarina loves maps, cats, and oatmeal, but not all three together because the cats will spill the oatmeal on the maps. She was born in Athens, that's in Greece, not Georgia, but she grew up on the internet. So welcome to the show, Katarina.
Good to be here.
So the important questions here, do you ever have maps open with oatmeal and your cats at the same time?
I'm sure I've been there. Yes. I mean, it sounds probable.
So we saw before we start recording that you had a cat, who was trying to get on the air with us. What is your cat's name?
His name is Malone.
Malone. Okay. Yes. That sounds like a very problematic cat based on the way that you got rid of him.
He's very messy.
So for today's topic, could you kind of lead us off with a little bit about, we all think know what electronic maps are, right? People have used either Apple's maps or Google's maps or MapQuest or any of these tools, Bing Maps. What is it about maps that like makes you a Google Map GDE? Like, how do you use these things like with technology?
So, of course, the thing that makes you a GDE for Google Maps is using the Google Maps API and being very good at it and using it and creating code samples. And that's what I've been doing for the past few years. But in order to go into such I would say that it's a niche. It's a niche Google technology to be a developer expert for, because when I became a GD, it was just only, I think, 3 or 4 other GDs for it, and now it's many more. But it's because not a lot of people are that into web maps, and not a lot of people are that into just creating maps on the web. And it's because maybe not a lot of people are that into making maps. And it's usually that web developers are not. And I guess it's because when you become a web developer, you don't have that much of a background in order to be into spatial data or spatial data visualization, or just be interested in that area. The thing is that I always loved maps, and this is what led me into loving Google Maps and being into spatial data visualization. And I'll explain how this all happened, right? A little bit of a background story for this.
Yeah, tell us a little bit how you got into maps and Google Maps.
Yeah, so I always liked maps. Like, my father, when I was little, he had these books with all maps from the world, from the Age of Discovery, you know, where you have all the ships and the monsters in the sea and the malformed versions of Europe and Americas. So I always loved these maps. But my first contact with Google Maps, and actually Google Earth to be specific, because Google Earth was before Google Maps, was when I was in school. And my father was on a business trip to Bangladesh, and I was worried and I missed him so much. And my uncle told me that there's this website where it has an aerial view of Earth, and I could actually zoom in and see my dad. Of course, the aerial view was not live. I didn't know that. But my uncle, I guess, was trying to make me feel better, you know?
Right.
But the result was that I was just zooming over Dhaka and over some jungles in Bangladesh until he came back. I didn't see him anywhere, of course, right?
Right. That's so sweet, though. That's such a sweet idea, you know?
Yeah, but I was amazed, you know? And I think from that moment on, I got hooked on it. And I was just go on Google Earth and zoom on random places around the Earth. Incidentally, eventually, or I don't know if I had it always in me, but I've always been that person in a group of friends or a group of people that I give directions and I say, okay, here is that place, we have to go that way, or we came back that way. So this is because I always like maps and I like to read maps, and I try to embed maps in my mind everywhere I go.
So during the pandemic, have you done the thing where you take a map-based vacation, visit the world through the maps and everything?
Of course. Yeah. And of course, I collect maps as well. I mean, I've been to 22 countries, and I don't know how many cities I've been to. And every place I go, I collect a map, and I never throw a map away. Because before I had a smartphone with Google Maps, I would always have a physical map, and I would always create these small custom maps of smaller areas if I wanted to go somewhere. Google Maps partly took the fun away from this, but when I realized that I could use the Google Maps JavaScript API to create my own maps, you can only understand how excited I was that I could finally create my own custom maps using JavaScript. Right.
In fact, I think that was their motto on their website. Google Maps, we take the fun away from traveling. Right. I'm kidding. No, Google Maps will never sponsor this show ever.
So, John, one of the things I like about AG Grid, which is a data grid component for the kind of complex grid scenarios that we encounter all the time in enterprise apps. One of the things I really like about it is that it works for a variety of frameworks, Angular, React, Vue, or just vanilla JS. Does that ring a bell for you?
Oh, it really does. There's all these different companies that I work with where they have no choice but to use a lot of these different tools because they have different teams working on them. So being able to port their code or share that code and that technical investment they have is really important to them.
Yeah, well, it's important to us, ideally, we're a consulting company, and you know, we never know what our client's going to want to use, Angular, React, or Vue, but they're all going to need a grid, and it's great to be able to reach for the one grid that works everywhere, AG Grid.
You know what, and any size company, too, because you could have these teams that maybe they only use one framework, but eventually they're going to switch to another one and be able to take that investment again and use it, reuse it, is really nice.
So if a multi-framework data grid makes sense to you, please go check out AG Grid at ag-grid.com.
Well, when you talk about creating custom maps, does that mean that you are highlighting certain geographies and pulling out borders of different places? Or is it also in addition to, like, okay, I'm going to pin every Starbucks in the entire Europe or something like that.
I would do that.
Yeah. What does that look like for you when you're building these things?
So before Google Maps, and I'll say more for after Google Maps. Before Google Maps, when I would go to a place with my friends, I would make a custom map and hand it out to every one of my friends that just had our hotel and some landmarks and how to go from one place to another. And it was small pieces of paper, yeah. After the Google Maps JavaScript API, what I really like to do with is to create custom styles with the maps and actually experiment with how a map looks like if you remove features from the map. Because one thing that the Google Maps JavaScript API allows you to do is to actually remove features from the map, like remove rows, remove landmarks, or paint things in a different way, add different colors. So this is a fun thing I like to do, just experiment and see how a map looks better and how some things are highlighted better.
So if I live next to Dan Wallin and I want to, let's say I don't like him as a neighbor, I could use Google Maps to remove his house completely and just take over? That sounds like
my neighbor's already done that, John. My neighbor's already done that, so it's too, you're too late.
That actually sounds really cool because using maps for business applications, I haven't done a lot of it personally. I've done a little bit, but it seems like a really, really powerful mode. Like, I worked for a private investigation firm years ago. They did investigations around the country. And at the time, the technology was only such that we just needed to know where were the people around the country. We couldn't track with locations at the time, but this is way back. But we did use maps to kind of put pins so we knew who was close to what. And we could calculate, okay, you're in Denver, Colorado. We need somebody to be in Boise, Idaho. You're too far. But these days, you can track everything with these maps and calculate distances and the best route. And what kind of business applications do you build with Google Maps?
I have built, so the first thing I ever actually worked on for a company, because I used Google Maps during my master's degree. I did a master's degree on spatial data analysis and visualization. And this is how I really got into actually visualizing data on maps. In the first company I worked for, we were building a system using the Google Maps JavaScript API for a fire service fleet management. So you would go on a map, report where wildfire had broke out, and then the fire service could use this to manage the fleet and see how it could distribute the trucks, for example, to contain the fire. And because there were some models that predict the spread of the fire, they could actually visualize on the map how the fire would spread and actually move the trucks on the places that they needed to go. So that was
interesting.
Yeah.
We need your technology here. I just last night drove up from a place and they had a big wildfire it hopped the road, I could tell. And that's amazing to be able to have that kind of technology for them. Yeah. Especially, have you heard of anyone integrating that with like AI or anything like that to not only map it, but also predict, based on wind and all that?
Yeah. There are prediction models for the spread of wildfires. I don't know how to build them, but I know that there are. Yeah.
John will tell us all about it in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, John.
Nope. No, I think that's beyond my my expertise and skills these days. But it's so amazing because just we've been doing this show now for over 2 years, and we touch on topics that sometimes we've all been through, at least one of us has had experience with. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, Craig and Dan, none of us have really built modern applications with Google mapping type features for businesses. Have either of you done that, Craig or Dan?
We did. This was a long time ago, though. It was Google Maps, but would have been really early. And it was for a restaurant delivery. It was almost like for Uber Eats type thing. Unfortunately, that startup did not survive. But aside from that, no, back way, way back, we used something called, I think it was ArcGIS or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. To do mapping for assessor property taxes. But that's about all I've done.
Yeah, it's been like over a decade, like 15 years since I've actually used a mapping tool for a business application. So I'm assuming things have changed a little bit, Katerina, in the last 15 years for technology.
They have changed a lot, but it's it's safe to say, I think, that things have changed over the past 15 years, yes. yeah, what I want to say is that, for example, ArcGIS is a very powerful tool to create your map visualizations and create very sophisticated data analysis, spatial data analysis, and draw conclusions and everything. But the difference is that when we're talking about web maps, of course, the capabilities are much more limited because you're limited to the power of the browser, right? So you cannot really compare ArcGIS, for example, with the Google Maps JavaScript API. There are other web mapping platforms that are, for example, OpenLayers is an open source web mapping tool that has a very extensive API. And when I first used it, I realized that it offered you a lot of capabilities, and it reminded me a little bit of ArcGIS in the ways that it allowed you to do data analysis and data visualizations on the maps. However, as the years are moving on, Google Maps is adding more and more features to visualize data and to analyze data on a map. So it's becoming more and more powerful. And I guess this question would come up later, but why would someone choose the Google Maps platform or the Google Maps JavaScript API over other web mapping technologies? I would say that, as we have already said, Google Maps has all the data that you see when you open Google Maps on your phone, right? Like, it has every single point of interest that you can imagine. So, which, for example, other maps do not have, like OpenStreetMap, I guess it has less data. But Google Maps has all the data that you can imagine, and you have the location, and you have every shop, and all the reviews, and all the comments, so that and all the addresses of the world, so that you can really, really build a very enhanced application using all this data that you have available. You pay for it, of course, but you know.
What you mentioned, you liked it because you could strip out features, which is actually very kind of cool, I think, to allow people to focus. But are there any features that you've used a lot that are kind of underutilized, would you say? I mean, I'll give you an example. Push pins, those are utilized all the time. But are there any other key features of Google Maps that you're like, you know, more people should use this? This is cool.
Yeah, I think there are a few features that I would like to see used more. So in a second application that we were building in a company I was working for, we were building an application that was trying out some proof of concept features for airport security, right? So we would embed or overlay, actually, a map of the airport on Google Maps just to geofence it and have the latitude and longitude correct in every place. And through that, and through the getting the live location of of potential passengers, because it was just a proof of concept, we could geofence areas and like block features or send out an alert if a person would move within a certain area that we had marked on the map. And to do that, Google Maps gives you the drawing library. And with the drawing library, you can actually draw vector graphics on like an overlay over the map, which is pretty cool. And you can create your own custom tools. And I will give you a link so that you can take a look afterwards. Someone, maybe they want to. This is a shame because I think it's the cool thing of not doing this presentation in a podcast is that Google Maps, it relies so much on the visual aids that it's a pity that I cannot show you. But the good thing is that we can have a conversation and you can take a look at it afterwards. Yeah, you can customize totally the drawing tools. You can create your own custom drawing tools as your own colors over it. And a thing that just landed, and they just announced it in Google I.O. yesterday, or was it the day before yesterday? Doesn't matter. 1 or 2 days ago, was that now you can use Google Maps in the Google Maps JavaScript API. You can use vectors. So the map will be a vector, because up until now, using the Google Maps JavaScript API, you would have raster images. And raster images are like tiles. I guess everybody knows what raster imaging is. Yeah. So they were like tiles that they would render as you would zoom in and out. Now you would actually get a vector map. And on the vector map, you can actually add your own graphics. And what's more cool is that now, the map, in order to render the vector graphics, it will use WebGL. To use WebGL, it will also allow the users of the Google Maps JavaScript API to use 3D versions of the map, like tilt and rotate the map, so that they can look at the 3D buildings that are already on Google Maps. If you go on your Google Maps application and you tilt the map, you see the 3D buildings. You can actually be able to use and manipulate these from the API and just create your own custom map out of that, which is pretty cool, I think. Yeah, it actually gives you more and more capabilities. And it actually, what's cool is that, as we said, Google Maps has all this data and all this information that is now just available to the developer to manipulate and take advantage of.
That's really good explanation. Thank you. And for our listeners out there, if you're not familiar with some of this information as well, I added some links to like the difference between raster data. I'm sure if I'm saying that word right. Raster data.
Raster images.
Images and vector images. And I think the best explanation is what Katarina just said is, if you've ever seen a map render slowly in tiles, that's usually the raster images coming through versus a vector. But it's interesting how this has changed so much over the years to improve, so we don't have that kind of a slow rendering of our images out there.
This episode is brought to you in part by me, your WebRush podcast editor, Chris Enns. Rather than me telling you all about what I do and how I can save you time editing your podcasts, I thought I'd let my clients talk about the thing they most enjoy being able to do since they hired me to edit their podcasts.
All right, Chris, how are you, sir? Notice that there's sound effect to start and a sound bite from my guest. So we'll pause for that. 3, 2, 1.
This is going to be a tough one for you, Chris. And sorry about that. Do what you can.
Okay, I'm going to dive into web components. I just think that's a good sign. We'll let that pass and we'll edit this out.
Oh,
that's my dog. I apologize. We'll fix that in post.
Doggy thinks CSS3 should be a thing. Anyway,
he's big into CSS4.
It's just the way it is. But you sound good, Dave. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Plus, we have the masterful Chris Enns on audio engineering.
Fred, I think this is a good spot to take a break. So let's take a brief break. Yeah, catch your breath, right?
Chris, edit here.
And, Chris, just erase that last part.
You know, Chris edits this thing too, right?
He does.
So he's got a heavy hand with his edits. He makes us sound really smart.
Excuse me. Hold on. Let me start that over. I'm going to ask Chris Enns to cut that out.
Chris, let me just find this word.
Sorry, Chris. Yeah. Right. Chris is our editor.
Whenever we're like just like frustrated with something, we just blame Chris for it. It's just like our imagination.
It's imagination. Yeah, blame Chris. That's good.
I'm so sorry, Chris. We love you.
Chris, we're going to now have to make this an explicit episode.
Chris, have fun with this episode.
Chris is so good at editing and it just doesn't make sense for me to do it. Yeah, we'll just send it to him.
But if you have any moments too where you're like, oops, I just misspoke, you can always just say like, Chris.
Okay. Please, Chris. Okay.
Please, Chris, help us.
I will tell Christopher Enns, our sound guy, to take this out.
Nope, that's not the way it worked. Chris, will you go back to David and edit that part out? I'm going to start over. Yeah. Am I pink or
yeah,
you pink?
You're pink.
I totally that all up, didn't I?
Doesn't matter. That's why we have Chris.
My bad, Chris. Sorry about that.
Yep.
I like the way you're phrasing this, but let's take a quick break from a word from our sponsors. Thought you want a little music there, Chris.
So whether you've got a weekly show that you want help with or you want to do a 10-episode run of an idea you've got, get in touch with me, Chris, at lemonproductions.ca. And now back to the show.
So we talked about some of the types of applications that you can build with the Maps APIs. Dan talked about trying to locate his children. I made that up. But, you know, we can do lots of interesting business cases. I talked about like the private investigator side. Obviously, places like Uber or Uber Eats, DoorDash, Lyft. So these food delivery services or people. There's another interesting side of it, too, is more like, think about public transportation. I imagine school buses, government transportation, and you know, city transportation, all that kind of stuff must use some kind of mapping technology, I assume, out there. Did any of you know if they use, Katarina, they use Google Maps to do that kind of stuff? Or is there more proprietary, like an ArcGIS type thing like Dan was talking about?
I'm not sure per se, but I would assume that they use Google Maps. Not all of them, of course, but I would assume that they would use Google Maps. But I guess if you think of, I think that most of the apps that we use daily use some kind of map or location technology. Apart from the food delivery services or the taxis, the Ubers that we take, you can think of Facebook. Okay, it doesn't use Google Maps, but it does use location-based services to send you advertisements or suggest things close to you or suggest friends close to you. Or Tinder, for example, that will suggest partners that are close to you. Or these types of, I mean, if you think of any application right now that has a social aspect in it, it will use some kind of location technology. Even Twitter, or that you can say where you're posting something from. So maps are, I think maps and location technologies are such a huge part of the way that we spend our daily life online that more people could take advantage of it. More developers should start working with maps.
What can you tell us about the JavaScript API itself? Like, is it easy to use? Is it tough? How does it hit you?
Well, it has very, very good documentation. When I started developing with it, it had very good documentation. It had very good code samples, but it was a little bit difficult to set up with non-static web apps. For example, it was a bit difficult to use with Angular or some other frameworks because it was just the API would load with an async function from just a link and index HTML was a bit more complicated. What's great is that in the past year, the Google Maps team have released an NPM package, like an official NPM package that will take care of loading the Google Maps API for you. And they have also created this huge GitHub repo, which I think only one person manages it. And I want to find it now to say good job to that person who creates all these code samples that you can actually clone and reproduce because this did not exist like 2 years ago or 1.5 years ago. And it's amazing. So it's very easy for someone to get started. And it's not like that you have to be very like savvy with the WebGL or latitude, longitude and stuff, you can just get started very easily. Because the good thing with maps, and I think the good thing with web development in general, but I think especially with maps, is that what you write in your code, you just instantly see it on the screen and you see if it works. You know what I
mean? That's a really good point.
Yeah. So it's easy to learn things easily, I think. Because you...
Real-time feedback's great.
Yeah, yeah. You instantly see that what you're doing, is it making sense? It's not.
Nice. On that topic, has there been anything... I know Google I.O., the week we're recording this, is right now. Is there any new announcements you're aware of with Google Maps or anything related to mapping?
Yeah, I mentioned... just before that, they announced the WebGL integration with vector maps. And they also announced what is great. They also announced that they're now offering, they're now allowing, keyboard and mouse interactions with more keyboard and mouse interactions with the map, so that it's much more easy to control the map of your application and maybe create games, you know, because if you can now have access to keyboard and like front, back, left, right, and the mouse to tilt and rotate and to navigate, then it's a very good setting for games. And another thing they announced was now that you have a 3D map, it's like a 3D model. What good is a 3D model without a camera? So that you can add a camera and you can create camera animations, like to create actually, you know, how a camera pans and goes around the 3D model. So you can create these types of animations and create sort of a video or a narrative around it.
Well, that's from a travel perspective. That sounds, you know, pretty compelling once we can travel again.
Yeah.
Travel? What's this travel thing we're talking about?
Yeah, you're right. I brought that up and I realized I can't even spell it anymore. So, yeah, I don't know. But when I can, that sounds pretty fun. You know, map out your trip. And I've noticed a friend of ours, Laurent Bougnon, I always say his last name wrong. So Laurent, sorry, I probably said it wrong. Do you know the app? Have you guys seen the app he uses when he rides his motorcycle in Switzerland? I don't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. But it basically maps it and makes it animation. And then it embeds videos and photos. So
really?
That was a pretty cool. Wow. Yeah, it's really cool.
It's like a dash cam. We'll take it. Put that stuff inside the map?
Yeah, it literally builds an animation, but in a 3D type map scenario. Wow. And then I guess he must add where he wants pictures put, and then you can view them. So it's pretty neat.
It is pretty cool. Now, do you use any Google Maps in your current job? Like, I'm kind of curious, how often does it come up in some of the business applications that you work on?
Unfortunately, it doesn't come up often. I mean, I haven't actually worked with the Google Maps in my past two companies, but I did work on two side projects and I did use Google Maps in both of them. The latest side project I'm working on, we're not actually rendering an actual map in the application, but we're using the address autocomplete feature, which is a feature of the Google Maps JavaScript API, where, I mean, we all are familiar with the address autocomplete. You just start typing an address and it autocompletes. So this is one more way that you can use the Google Maps JavaScript API without even having to render a map if you're not into rendering maps.
Well, that's one of the things I was curious about. You mentioned location services, and I know, like, traditionally those are known to be like not entirely all that accurate. So let's say that you're building an app and you need to do something with location services. Maybe you don't need to render a map at all, but how might you use the API in order to enrich that data and that experience for your customers?
If you don't use a map, you can take the location of the user and you can specify a radius around the user to see which places are close to the user and suggest these places. And I think as the years move on, I think the GPS of the phones are more and more accurate. So this can be pretty accurate. So this is one way to use location services without rendering the map, I guess. or you can use autocomplete or the directions just to find how far a place is from another. Mm. Or another cool thing is the elevation, that you can get the elevation of each place you're at if you're doing like walking or biking. Yeah.
There's a feature on the iOS version of Garmin, which they totally discontinued. And my wife was like really upset. And they had it was a directional type thing. So we'd be driving somewhere that we're not used to, and she'd want to look up a restaurant. And a lot of times the apps will say, okay, this is close, but you know, it's like 5 miles behind you. And so you'd be able to do something like that where you'd be able to say, okay, this is actually ahead of me or off to the side rather than I'm driving away from it.
I'm not sure. I mean, I can think of some ways. I mean, if you are, for example, if you have already set the route and you're saying I'm going from point A to point B and you can see that you're further on the route, this could be one way, the easiest way. I guess more sophisticated ways would be to try and understand the direction you're going by using the accelerometer.
Right.
I don't know.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it is frustrating sometimes. I know, like, I'll be in my car and I'll, be parked somewhere. I'm like, where's the closest whatever? I'm already heading in a certain direction, especially like if I just pulled off on the highway.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's behind me though. I don't feel like going backwards.
Right.
I have to totally get it. So I'm calling Katarina next time that happens. She's going to fix it for me.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So Katarina, tell us a little bit about being a GDE. You're a GDE in the web area, in the Angular area, in the Maps area. We don't often talk about that program here, and I put some links in for folks, but we've had some questions in the past on Twitter about like, what exactly is a GDE or a Google Developer Expert? Can you kind of explain a little bit, just like what is a GDE and how do people learn about it?
So a Google Developer Expert is a person, I mean, I will give my own explanation to this, disclaimer, it's not an official Google explanation of it. So I think it's what it feels like is that if you're a person who is really engaged in the community of a certain technology and you're trying to produce some content concerning that Google technology, and you're trying to get more people involved and you're trying to educate people about it, I think this is how you become a GDE, and this is what you do as a GDE. I think it's not just being an expert in a technology. It's not like only knowing very well how to use Angular or very well how to use the Google Maps platform. I'm sure there are many more people who know how to use these technologies much better than I do. But it's more of how much effort you put to get the word out and educate people about it and just get more people involved to use these technologies.
Very cool. And what technologies are you working with lately? I know Narwhal does different kinds of tech. What's like your current project, for example? I don't mean the company, but like with the technologies.
Luckily, I'm using Angular and I like it a lot. Yeah. I use Angular in my day-to-day. It's a huge code base. It's the first time I'm working on such a huge code base where hundreds of developers may be touching the same files, which is crazy. But I like it because it's fun, because there's a lot of legacy code together with new code that we've been writing. And it's interesting to see how things have evolved over the years.
It definitely gives you a different perspective working on a project that has been around for a while. So it's, gone through different versions of the technology and then has had so many different people come on and off the project. I don't know about you, but it always made me feel good and a little scary sometimes when you're realizing that, wow, I'm working on this code that, all these different people use and have written together. So it's kind of really cool to be involved in something that large, as opposed to like a blog I wrote for myself, and I'm the only person touching it. So
yeah,
exactly. Works on my machine.
Yeah, it's fun though. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, because I know these days we've got so many different technologies to choose from out there. And the cool thing about like the mapping platform is you can use that with React or Angular or Vue or Svelte or whatever you want. It's just an API, right? I mean, there's no, you don't have to use Angular just because Google derived from that too. So,
Ben, I'll tell you this. I don't miss the days of, remember the days when you actually printed out a map? Like, I think back then it was MapQuest. You'd hop in the car. And then if you're lost, I still remember calling my wife once. I was outside of New York and totally got, New York City, and got lost. You know, now, Katarina, you can write an app and embed it just about anywhere with a map. So it's pretty neat compared to the old days.
I remember years ago, we used to drive, I used to live in New York. And my father would drive to Florida once a year when I was a kid. And there was no internet. So my father would go to AAA, auto agency in the United States, you could be a member of, and they would give you a map. You tell them where you want to start from and go to, and they would print you off a map, which page by page would show you the route, and they put a highlighter over the highway. And everything was good as long as you stayed on that route.
Yeah.
But once in a while, like, you know, they'd have construction or whatever, and you have to go off it. And that's when I learned a lot of new things about how angry my father could be.
I had a similar experience in Cuba where we rented a car. And of course, I mean, I was in Cuba in, I think, 2009, and I definitely did not have a smartphone or Google Maps or anything. And the person from the car agency just gave us a map, and they highlighted the areas where we can go and not go.
Well, Katarina, I really want to thank you for coming on to the show today and sharing so much about the Google Maps API and kind of, you know, your experience getting into them as well. We'd like to end our show with a final thought for our audience, and this could be on topic or off topic. And today I'm going to start with the amazing Dan Wallin, because I just keep saying amazing about you. And
I know I'd pay him a lot of money, folks, to say these words. Otherwise, you'd hear the words he normally says, and, you know. So over the weekend, this is going to be one of those give your family a call type discussions, because over the weekend, my dad, who's 80, had a little accident, ended up going to the hospital. And so I drove up, and luckily my brother and sister live close. I got to see him. He's doing good now, thankfully. In fact, I took up my VR. I have an Oculus 2 and let him go scuba diving because he had to sit in his chair while he heals, you know, and he thought that was cool. But I guess my final thought is, you know, I do talk to my family a lot, but I know there's folks that maybe don't due to whatever issues. And this kind of, you know, it really hit home, made me realize, hey, we're kind of running out of time here. Might want to leverage the time. So if you haven't talked to someone recently, give them a call. You know, they'll probably want to hear from you.
Dan, go get your phone. That's me calling you.
Hopefully, we get more time than that, John.
We barely talk anymore. We just text. So
I know. All the we texted earlier today, actually. Yep.
Craig, what's your final thought for our audience?
I can't follow that up. Are you kidding me? That's like the most touching, significant thing. So today, Stack Blitz announced web containers, which basically allows you to run a node environment in your browser. And by the time this comes out, I'm sure many people will have heard of it. But I just thought it's like one of those things where, like, I never really occurred to me that someone might even try doing this. But then you realize this is something that's possible and can happen. And then you start thinking of all the implications of it. And it's pretty awesome. So we'll put it in the show notes and you can check it out. It seems pretty exciting.
Sounds good. And Katarina, what is your final thought for our audience today?
My final thought happened when you started initially talking about how the GPS and you can see where your kids are and made all these jokes about, I have a confession to make. I share my location with my parents all the time. I know it sounds a little bit like Black Mirror, but I had a traumatic event and I had PTSD for some years. And I really needed someone to know where I am. So this makes me feel safe. And yeah, it's not that bad after all, I think.
Our whole family does that, Katarina. Yeah, we share.
Yeah, my kids just started driving and we use Live 360.
Yeah, there's location-based data. Even the iPhone can do it, where you just let certain friends or family know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that too. Like when my
you
kids,
can
my
do
kids
it through Google
driving.
Maps as yeah. well.
Oh, really? Huh?
There you go. Tied right into the show. So that's great. Yeah, we were joking that we wouldn't want the whole world knowing where we are. But, you know, having your loved ones know where you are is not a bad idea. And my final thought is on topic. I'm going to go on to what Katarina said. I actually have an Apple Watch. I'm holding it up. Nobody can see it. But our guest
looks here. Good though, John. I like it.
And I got the cell phone enabling thing in it literally just because I have fallen twice running, once running and once riding a bike when I was in Florida. And the time when I fell, I actually cracked a rib one time off my bike because I fell going pretty fast. And it would have been really nice at the time to have been able to just call my wife or let her know, or I didn't have my phone or anything with me. So I do pay a little bit extra just to have that safety to know that if I'm out there and I am getting older, you know, what if something happens to me? So it's a nice feature to have. And so my final thought is, you know, piling on with Dan's thoughts about, you know, calling somebody you know, and Katarina's about letting people know where you are. It's good to, you know, think of these things. We don't like to think of these things, but I think it's important. Stay safe. Stay safe, everybody. And Katarina, thank you so much for coming back on today and talking about Google Maps. We really learned a lot and appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening to Web Rush for yet another week. And thank you for our sponsors for keeping us on the air. And we've had some really great sponsors over the years. We have Idea Blade and AG Grid, and Narwhal has really supported us, who's also Katarina's employer these days. So thank you. And you'll hear from us every Thursday morning. See you next time.